Kath's going to come and read to us now.
Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forget one another if any of you has had a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison. And he wrote to the Colossae church to say, be strong. Now that book, the book of Colossians, the letter of the Colossians, is very powerful, very strong. It's got lots and lots of gems in it. Some scripture you have to read passages and sometimes chapters in order to get good stuff out of it. But here, there's almost verse by verse, you find a gem on there, are in there. And this is the truth, I think, for Colossians chapter 3. And Paul outlines a three-pronged approach to being the church of Christ. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the life of Christ. Now those of you who did chemistry will remember what a tripod is. Not if you do. Yep, a few of you do, yes. And you'll remember that if one of the legs was wonky, the whole thing would lean to the left or to the right. And if you tried to straighten it, you'd burn yourself because the thing had been under a Bunsen burner. And so it was that these trembling things, these tripods, unless they were good and new, would be in such an awful condition. And Paul says that if you don't get all three of these right, you'll have a wobbly church. So he talks about the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the life of Christ in this passage that is important for keeping the church on a balanced, even keel. Let's look first at the peace of Christ. The word for the peace in this first verse is the word Irene, like the name. Anybody got a middle name, Irene? Very good, two of you. Did you know it was meant peace? Oh, well, now you've learned something, you can go home. The rest of you have to stay, but the two of you can go home because you've learned something. Irene, meaning peace. And it occurs in all the books of the New Testament except for one, John, and it describes harmony between people. Pure fellowship of Christians should have this peace amongst them. This verse has often been used in making decisions, hasn't it? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I've used it myself. Do something if you feel that you have the peace of Christ in your hearts. And it must be from God if it is. In many ways, this is true. The word rule here literally means umpire. God is an umpire in your heart. The Spirit of God is an umpire in your heart. It's a sporting term from the arena of the New Testament times. The judge or umpire was there to see rules obeyed and expel any cheats and declare who the winner was. I'm not going to say anything about Djokovic this morning, but we all know what's been happening there. And he never got as far as the court where an umpire would be sitting up on a high chair deciding whether or not their rules were being obeyed. That's what this verse means when it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It means let the peace of Christ be an umpire in your heart. Telling us when we are going right, telling us when we've gone wrong and we're straying. Therefore, the Holy Spirit acts like this umpire in our decision making. When something is right, however difficult or unsettling it feels, we will have peace. Not just feelings, but a deeper certainty that it is God who is at work here. But I'm also certain this is not the context Paul was using here because of what the rest of the passage is saying. Paul is talking about fellowship life. He's talking about what it's like to be in a church. Now, we are a strange mix of people, aren't we? Just look around you. Literally, look around you. People from different backgrounds, different ages, different interests, different hobbies, different in so many different ways. We probably have different educations. Some of us have letters after our names. Some of them have them in front of our names. Some of those without any exams at all. Different politics, financial status, different opinions on almost anything and everything. As I said, different hobbies, different abilities, different senses of humour. There's almost certainly no mix like this in the world today, in the world's way of doing things. Other groupings of people probably have more in common than we do. We meet together because of one reason. Jesus is Lord of our lives. We are Bramley Baptist Church because we meet as some of the Christians in Bramley who declare that Jesus is Lord of our lives. And if Jesus is indeed Lord of our lives, then our decision making and its expression of that decision making is the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts. Now, in our tradition in the Baptist Church, we vote within the church meeting. I don't have rule over what happens and what doesn't happen. The church meeting does. Probably that's a very, very, very good thing. But the important thing is that we see that there is a consensus between us. That the peace of Christ rules our hearts, acts like an umpire, and our life in church is governed by the Holy Spirit found in each one of us. It's like a puzzle. Now, I know over COVID and over lockdown, many of you have been doing puzzles. Some of you have been doing the most extraordinary puzzles. Janet's not here at the moment, but she seems to delight in the most difficult of puzzles, and the more difficult they are, the more she enjoys them. My wife likes to do puzzles too. Me? Not on your life. No, I don't like them at all. But if a piece is missing, you know it. You get right to the end and everything's in place and one piece is missing. Well, Jesus, I believe, would say that about the church, that we are like a puzzle that comes together, each with the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And if one piece is missing, if one piece is out of kilter, the whole picture is spoiled. Jesus is Lord of our lives, and he acts like an umpire in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, umpiring our activities. It's the peace of Christ that guides us and rules us. And the peace of Christ should also be a major characteristic. Paul says that we have been called to peace. Now, that doesn't just mean an absence of hostility or problems or difficulties. It means Christ ruling in all that we do. So when visitors are with us, do they sense peace, harmony, the presence of Christ? Because that's what we should seek. Notice also that Paul says next, and be thankful. Why? Because I believe this is how people are united in peace, by being thankful for each other. I would hope this fellowship is outstanding in our unity. We are definitely a friendly fellowship, and you can see from the talking that goes on before the service and after the service that we get on well together, we care for one another, we love one another. But because we live in a church that is such a mix of different types of people, we do have the potential for getting it wrong. Sometimes we might clash. But if we're always giving thanks to God for each other, then we can overcome. It's an act of the will. I will seek God's peace. Paul says that we are one body. Our unity is testimony to the world that Christ is here and the peace of Christ unites us. The second point is the word of Christ. And the second way that the Church of Christ is to be identified is a place where the Word of God dwells richly. Of course, in Paul's time, they didn't have a Bible like we have. They had the Old Testament scriptures, plus the teachings of Jesus, probably fragments of letters, fragments of the Gospels, teaching written upon them, stories from the Gospel writers, later collected and edited by Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Also importantly, Paul's letters were beginning to be seen as having the weight of Scripture. Listen to his words from 2 Peter chapter 3. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking of them in these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. I'm glad Peter felt that way because I do too. And which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Other scriptures. Already Paul's letters were being seen as being scripture. And that must be true for the other apostles' letters too. As Peter says, other scriptures, he's also saying Paul's letters were being described as scripture too. So we have documents recording Jesus' teaching, the apostles' letters, and the Old Testament, all being shared around the churches. This is the word of Christ for the early church. We are blessed because we have the Bible, the collection that is in front of us. And this word richly means abundance. And it is a telling word. All churches would probably say that the word of God is important to them. However, is it central to the life of the fellowship? I believe Paul wants our every activity of the church to be based on scripture. It means every meeting. Doesn't mean that every meeting has to be a Bible study. But it does mean that all that we do is guided by what the word of Christ tells us. Do our activities as a church comply with what the gospel calls us to be? Are there things that we are not doing that should be doing to comply with the gospel? The visitors have brought this other gospel to the church of Colossae because there was a heresy going around. Obviously, we're stressing the other ways of discovering knowledge about God, about the basis of the church. They preached about angels and hidden worship. They were hidden secrets. They were secrets to the kingdom of God, accessible only through them in their extra teaching. Paul says, don't get distracted. You know, I get distracted. I get distracted so easily. I sit down to get something done on my computer or to write something, and the phone may go, and immediately I'm on the phone and something else comes up, or I'll get distracted by something else that's literally not is sitting on my desk. It's very easy to get distracted in our world today, and Paul says, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted, but always concentrate on the Word of God. Notice that the Word of Christ is also being used to teach and admonish one another. It's not just the preacher who's to use Scripture as we meet together. Our very conversation should be filled with the Word of Christ. Teach one another about sharing Scripture to encourage one another. Admonishing is a corrective word about helping one another to keep on serving Christ. If we see another Christian failing, we are to restore them lovingly, using the Word of God to guide us. It's not an excuse to Bible bash one another, but instead to use biblical wisdom to guide us. And then the last one is the life of Christ. Paul tells us that the distinction of the Church of Christ, whatever we do it to praise God. Everything we do is done in Jesus' name, in word. All that we say must bring glory to God. We have to watch our language. We mustn't be casual in our use of God's name. In the words of Jesus' name, nothing more than a swear word to our world today, we should never be found doing the same. We must be careful in the words we say to one another. The first point, I talked about the peace of Christ. Well, one certain way to destroy that peace is by being careless in how we speak to one another. We must seek to be a blessing to those we speak to. I ask you, do others go away from us saying, well, I'm really glad I spoke to her? Or do they say, they're always moaning, that one, always being negative? I hope it's the first one, that our words are peppered with grace and the fruit of the Spirit. It's too easy to complain. It's too easy to moan. It's too easy to be negative. We hear it all around us in the world today, and it's a habit which we have to break as Christians. Moaning is a hard habit to break, but it's glorifying to God to praise rather than to complain. So our words need to be careful, but our deeds too. All that we do reflects thankfulness. It's not easy to say it with actions of thankfulness. Looking to turn all you do into some demonstration of thankfulness to God. As I've told you in the past, my background in Christianity is in the Brethren Church. And it seemed to me in the early years of being a Christian, you proved yourself to be a true, real Christian by your ability to disapprove of things. And the more you disapproved of, the more holy you appeared. And it's the falsehood shown in this verse. Real Christians and real Christian fellowship is marked by its ability to say thank you to God. That's why we have harvest, isn't it, every year? To say thank you to God for all that he has given us. To say thank you. Sometimes to say sorry too. I used to have a friend called Vic. Vic had this unfortunate habit of always putting his foot in it. And whenever he had someone that he liked, he would talk to them and then he'd put his foot in it and mess the relationship up. So much so that he had an account at Interflora's Say It With Flowers to say sorry to people. Constantly having to send them a bunch of flowers to say sorry. But for us, every sense of every day is an opportunity to say thankful to God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for a new day, a new opportunity, a new start with you. Lamentations 3:22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And lastly, in this passage is a wonderful sentence. This is the passage from Colossians. Lastly, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. And then in Hebrews it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's give thanks to God in worship, in word, in deed, in the name of Christ, so that the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the presence of Christ may fill our fellowship and be a reward in itself. Let's pray together. I want to thank you, Father, for these words in Scripture, for these encouragements, for these challenges, for these applications that we need to take forward into this week as we go on. I pray that something of what I was said have stuck and will have challenged us and encouraged us and motivate us to go on with you. I pray, Lord, that we may all grow in our fellowship with you, our fellowship with one another, and that, Father, together we might be the fellowship you want us to be. Lord, hear us in this prayer, we pray. Amen.